Hello, and welcome to The Alt Left.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Alt Left Podcast, episode 18. We are recording on the evening of March 30th, 2021, so who knows what's going to happen between now and the time this hits your ear holes. We're talking about some developing stuff. With me, as always, is Matthew Jumbo Johnson.
Welcome back, everybody.
And my other drop-dead gorgeous co-host, the Reverend Dr. K.
Aw, that was very nice. Good evening, everyone.
Told you I'd lie for you. So today, we're going to be talking about some shit going down in the South, which, you know, that's not that unusual in this country.
No, not at all.
But yeah, there's some very disturbing elements happening in Georgia right now and a few other states that are on the same track to Operation Don't Let Black People Vote.
Yep.
Well, mostly poor people. Black people, a lot of them, but mostly poor people.
Fair enough. Don't let Democrats get votes is basically the GOP plan of action.
Yep.
Yeah. Georgia Bill 202. That's a son of a bitch right there.
Those hit me, Reverend.
Some numbers.
Tell me about that bill.
So we'll run down a couple of things. So this is a very new bill. This was introduced on February 17th and was signed into law like 4 or 5 days ago by the governor of the state. It was sponsored by 24 Republican state senators. Now, there's only 56 total senators in the for that entire state. And there's 34 Republican and 22 Democrat senators. The bill passed the state Senate 32 Republican votes to 20 Democrat votes, one non-voting and three absent. So literally almost every Republican and no Democrats voted for this bill in the state Senate. A few days later, it passed the House. 100 Republican votes to 75 Democrat. Again, no Democrat voting for this bill. So there's a few changes that are probably the most controversial and which affect the actual voters the most. So specifically to absentee voting and then changes to early voting. So absentee voting. For people over 65, the disabled, and the military, those are basically the only ones that are allowed absentee voting anymore. They have changed it so that those requests for absentee voting can be done no greater than 11 weeks prior to the election, where previously it was 180 days. So they cut that down by more than half.
But I don't understand. Anybody can just have their lawyer contact a paralegal and you can just cut a check and have your lawyer take care of it for you. And that's plenty of time. What's the problem?
Anybody, right?
Yeah. I mean,
how many lawyers do you keep on retainer?
Worst case scenario, contact whichever fiduciary you have on duty at the moment and they should be able to take care of it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jesus. One of the other things for absentee voters or absentee ballot voters. Absentee ballots will go out 3 weeks later than previous, only allowing 4 weeks for them to be returned prior to the election. They will require what they consider acceptable voter ID to be included with the application as well as with the ballot when it is returned. So that's your Social Security number, that's your state driver's license or state ID. Is what they take as acceptable.
But again, my personal lawyer that I have on retainer should have all that information. So what's the problem?
Everyone has a driver's license, right?
That's the thing, Chris. Not everyone can afford a lawyer. In fact, most people cannot. And just by happenstance, those people that cannot won't vote for Republicans.
So, and then one of the other things is that they have ultimately reduced the amount of return boxes to no greater than one per 100,000 people.
I mean, look, if your house staff can't get things to the post office for you in a timely manner,
they're not putting them in the post office.
You need a new butler.
They're putting these return ballot boxes inside government buildings. So they're not even accessible 24 hours a day. They're only accessible during business hours. Isn't that great?
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's very nice. The only thing that it does is that it guarantees at least one ballot box per region. But who gives a shit?
Yeah, and so and by doing this, by making it during business hours in government buildings, by giving them bankers' hours, you've assured that anybody who actually works a daily job is incapable of dropping these off.
Of course. That's right.
That's beautiful. Because
why would they want people to drop these off? So the only time that you can drop these off is when there's actually like early voting. So you can drop those off at any ballot location. Now, something that they did do for early voting is that was kind of a good thing is that they expanded the days for early voting to include a Saturday, which previously it was only weekdays. And then they expanded the hours. So previously, I think they're open 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 o'clock, which is still the standard, but they can extend those hours to be 7 to 7, essentially, which is good. It gives people some more. Well, I mean,
it's risk management. Like, this is the kind of thing where it's like they throw a breadcrumb because the number of people they're disenfranchising by doing all the other bullshit is far greater than the number that are going to be able to vote because you added this one little nugget of good.
Like, hey, I am not disagreeing with you.
No, not
I'm
saying
simply
you are
going through the facts. Yeah.
No. That wasn't directed at you. That was directed at the lawmakers. Yeah.
Oh, and I absolutely agree with you. I think that it's despicable that they're throwing out these tiny little things, you know, saying, oh, well, we made it easier to vote earlier because now it includes a Saturday. It's, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, there's still not enough polling locations. There's still not enough polling people. So part of also these early voting laws, specifically the one that most people are most up in arms about, is that it prohibits anyone except for poll workers from handing out food or water to voters within 150 feet of the polling place.
And that's what we call saying the quiet part out loud.
Yep.
Yep.
That's the meat and potatoes of this. This is the fig leaf.
This is the thing that really boils everybody's blood, and it should. Real quick, there's a few changes to like vote counting, local election offices, and the state election board themselves, which doesn't affect any one person in particular. Much more procedural things for counting and that kind of stuff. The other stuff that I outlined, that's the stuff that really stops people from being able to vote and for their vote to actually be counted.
Because as we've discussed, I mean, this isn't about tightening down voters like voter security or, you know, preventing fraud. As we've discussed this before, but I think we all know there is no fraud.
It's never been about stopping fraud. This is about stopping people from voting, and they're doing it by making it more difficult for everyone in that state.
Yep.
Not just black people, not just poor people. They're actually making it more difficult for everyone, except that Republicans vote day of, all of the poor people, all of the disenfranchised, all of the people that live in city centers who are predominantly Democrat, those are the ones that are really suffering because they don't have enough polling places. They can't, you know, somebody can't bring them fucking water while they're standing in line. So literally it makes it a crime for their child to bring them water.
Well, and it's important to note here because one of the things that Kay mentioned that I think is important is these are targeted laws, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they're trying to strip the voting rights away from everyone. No. They're specifically enacting laws and tactics that will disenfranchise voters that will vote against them. It's just one more way they're stacking the deck in their favor because we've mentioned this many times on this podcast, but Republican policies really aren't popular. They aren't. They can't win on ideas alone. They win on fear-mongering and cheating. And this isn't to say the Democratic Party is innocent in this, but mostly they don't do it anywhere near as much. And usually it's like an equalizing tactic. They're not doing it to get more votes in their favor. They're just doing it to make things even. And again, if anybody out there has anything to the contrary, any instances of the Democrats doing this to literally jury rig it in their side, let us know, because I don't think I know of any.
Well, actually, I would. Again, if we're going to talk historically, the Democrats are worse than the Republicans. But if you're talking about in the modern era, gerrymandering was, yes, started by the Republicans, but was rapidly adopted by the Democrats to keep up as well. And they now play the exact same game. Now, I will agree with you. I still lay more than half the blame at the feet of the Republicans for starting the shitty game. But rather than fight it and make a public stink, the Democrats just decided to join in.
Which is also shitty. And that's where the Democrats don't get a pass. That shit. That's bullshit. Because you're taking the power away from the voters and just putting it back in your hands. And that's not what should be happening.
But two things I wanted to say. The first one is, especially like, you know, you and Kay were saying about how it's now illegal for someone's child to bring them a bottle of water while they're standing in the hot sun waiting to exercise their constitutional rights. Again, that should boil your blood. And it's so ridiculously puppy kicking Marvel villain evil. It's ridiculous. There used to at least be a polite veneer. You knew when these bastards were doing something terrible, but they pretended like they weren't. You know, you knew George W. Bush was going into Iraq just so he could prove his dick was as big as his father's. But at least he pretended like there was weapons of mass destruction, even though we knew there weren't. You know, like, at least they were nice enough to lie. At least they were nice enough to look at you and go, your hat is interesting. And yes, it's good. You know, at least they lied to you. Now, that doesn't even exist. Now they're just like, no, poor people shouldn't vote, and they're not allowed to have water while they have to stand in already long lines, because that stops fraud. Like, it's the fraud is like this afterthought. And so that's something to note as we've moved. And this is a landmark. The Trump era has fundamentally changed. I know it feels like it's not that big of a deal. Like, it's like it feels like a gotcha moment, but it's not. I at least I'm predicting it's not, right? I'm going to gaze into the future, which is dangerous, but it seems to me that we have crossed a line with the Trump era. Just like how the racists were no longer afraid, now the Proud Boys are actively saying, oh yes, we are actually anti-Semitic and racist. We've crossed this point where that's okay now. The Trump administration has made it okay in America to be an outward monster. There's no more need for to play in polite society anymore. And this seems to be a symptom of that. And I just think it's worth noting that I don't think this is a draconian measure that's unique to this. I think this is the Ides of March. I think this is a litmus test. This is the canary in the coal mine, I would actually say. You know, this is how it's going to be from now on. I mean, literally, I'm waiting for Mitch McConnell to stand up sometime and be like, and also add to the bill, no Jews. Like, that's coming. We're approaching that. You know,
I think you're right. Like, in the past, there was always this veil of we're doing this because it's the best for everyone. And in this case, this is like the overt. Yeah, fuck you. We're doing this because we don't want Democrats voting. We don't want places where people have to stand in line because we're only going to give them one polling place per district, instead of the 10 that they actually deserve, because the law says we don't have to.
Well, but it's the same reason why we have a Senate, is we don't want a representative democracy.
Well, of course. Why would we want that? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, let's make sure that the most powerful branch of government has an equal share for Road Fucking Island.
Yeah.
Something about this, though, is we could talk all day about how evil and fucked up this is, right? There is, as we all know, and if you're not, then, you know, welcome to this piece of news. There is a fix in the works. It's not going to succeed. But yeah, House Democrats and the president are putting forth this electoral reform bill. It's called For the People Act, and it's a very unpopular bill with Republicans.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Yeah, good old teddy bear, you know, Cancun Cruz. That's what I'm going to call him from now on. It's not just going to be Moscow Mitch. We've got Cancun Cruz. How did we not think of this before now? So Cancun Cruz has been his quote. Okay, where is it? He calls this, which, by the way, all this is trying to increase the Voting Rights Act and make sure and override these awful draconian state measures. That's all it is. And he has called it, and again, this is back to saying the quiet part out loud, a brazen and shameless power grab by Democrats. That's right, everybody. The Democrats are trying to grab power by letting people vote. Like, that's where we are, is that Cancun Cruz can sit here and complain about power grabs because democracy might happen.
Well, and there's an interesting side note to that. So there seems to be this pervasive idea on the right that if everyone is allowed to vote and there's an equal footing, that they will lose. Now, here's the interesting part. We've done studies on this. More people voting does not equal more votes for Democrats. We've proven this. It doesn't happen. And I can't tell if the leadership legitimately believes this or is just using it as a talking point to continue fear-mongering their base. I can't figure it out yet.
I would actually have to disagree. The data on those ones, if I recall right, again, you might have something in front of you that can totally refute me. But no, when we actually show that every time Voting Rights Act bills go through, progressive votes increase. There's a reason the Senate flipped, and that's because we allowed early voting in the South.
So maybe I phrased that correctly. What I was saying is per capita, Republicans don't see a dip in their percentages when to votes they get.
That I believe.
Well, no, because I think that those people are voting regardless. I think that the disenfranchised and the people where it's super difficult for them to vote don't vote. And then when we make it easier, they go out and vote and they're predominantly more progressive.
Okay, but that's true. But what I'm saying is Republicans also get more votes. It increases equally along with progressives. Now, the issue here is that progressives generally already get more votes. They're just getting more. It's enough now that they can overcome stupid things like gerrymandering and things like that.
Okay, so hold on. Real quick. So what you're saying is volume increases, but percentage does not.
I think you're saying the opposite. I think you're saying that each one gets an extra 20% boost or whatever. Like they get the same percentage boost is what he's saying. I think
the volume goes up equally on both sides, but the percentage doesn't change.
Again, this feels like old data that doesn't apply to the last few elections. Because I know that used to be the case in the 90s, but I don't think that's accurate anymore.
Yeah, I don't know that is necessarily true.
Like, I know it's a talking point, but I've heard it debunked several times. And I remember reading an article. It was last year, though. So that's why
I think it's even older than that. I think that article might have been quoting very old data because now when you let the poor vote, they vote Democrat.
And I don't disagree with that. It was just an interesting statistic that's always come up with me. I can't find the numbers here. I remember it as a talking point, but if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I just thought it was something interesting to add there because it's definitely a pervasive belief on the right that if more people can vote, it will absolutely hurt them. I just don't know how true it is one way or the other.
I think it's incredibly true, and not because I have numbers in front of me, because they're fighting it tooth and nail.
Well, and we saw a direct example of that.
Yeah, we just saw it happen in Georgia, in the Senate in Georgia, and they're terrified of it. However, we can't do that for 6 hours on the podcast, but our listeners may have some data that we're not seeing, and I think that would be a great way for them to engage. So anybody listening to this, if you've got current, modern, reliable data on this, shoot us an email, thealtleftpodcast@gmail.com, thealtleftpodcast@gmail.com. Shoot us an email. Give us what you got. If you got reliable information, we'll shoot you a shout out for you and we'll correct ourselves next time on the air. Because I would love to see anybody out there who's got really good numbers on this. Yeah. You know, again, if you've got a verifiable good source, I would love to see which one of us is right on this one. That'd be actually kind of cool. So anybody who's got that, send it in.
Yeah, I'm totally into that.
But about this resolution going through right now, the For the People Act, the Republicans, again, are fighting for this tooth and nail because whether or not those numbers are true, they clearly do not want people voting, especially the working class and the poor and the dark. That's what they don't want. They don't like poverty. They don't like education. And they don't like melanin. This is what the Republicans don't like in the voting booth. I think we can all agree on that, right?
Yep, 100%. Yeah.
So the New Yorker just broke this story today. They got their hands on a leaked recording. I'm just going to read you what the recording is. A recording obtained by the New Yorker of a private conference call on January 8th between a policy advisor to Senator Mitch McConnell and the leaders of several prominent conservative groups, including one run by the Koch Brothers Network, reveals the participants worry that proposed election reforms garner wide support, not just from liberals, but conservatives as well. The speakers on the call expressed alarm at the broad popularity of the bill's provision calling for more public disclosure about secret political donors. The participants conceded that the bill, which would stem the flow of dark money from such political donors, the billionaire oil guy Charles Koch, was so popular that it wasn't worth trying to even mount a public advocacy campaign to shift opinion. Instead, a senior Koch operative said on the recording that opponents would be better off ignoring the will of the American voters and trying to just kill the bill in Congress.
Wow.
This thing goes on and on. But, and again, you guys, this will be on, this is going to be in the news all week, and everyone's going to eventually, by the time people actually hear this podcast, by the way, it will not be breaking news.
Yeah.
I've heard the recording, and it's ridiculous. I mean, the guy, the head think tank guy on there is almost chuckling to himself. He's like, there's nothing we can do. This is super popular. Everyone hates dark money, and conservatives hate billionaires buying elections. And he literally says, there's no way we can spin this to get the conservatives to hate it. We have to go through Congress.
Jesus.
Except it's not going to work. I don't think it'll absolutely work.
I think it'll absolutely work because, as we've discussed, I think there's plenty of Dems that also don't want it to go through because it means their pockets are going to get a lot thinner and they will find some way to scapegoat it. They will blame it on the squad, blame it on AOC, blame it on the Republicans. But I absolutely believe that this will not go through Congress if the rich don't want it to go through Congress.
Well, that's what we're seeing happen right now. This is, again, this bill is not going to happen because what's his name? Joe Manchin?
Yeah.
Ted Cruz wannabe fuckboy Joe Manchin been, you know, he's been standing in the way of every single Democratic bill. You don't think he's getting bought off right now? Give me a break.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And back absolutely. To the title argument we always keep saying, the Democrats are spineless cowards.
Yep.
How has this guy not gotten a call from Pelosi saying next election, if you keep doing this next election, because they can kick him out of the party.
Yep.
And he's in power because people in his region will vote Democrat. Be like, you will not get to run on the Democratic ticket, and we're going to throw the war chest at a Democrat to kick your ass. You're done if you do this. But they won't.
And they should.
But they won't. They won't play that kind of hardball because the Democrats are cowards.
That was why we lost the $15 minimum wage in there. It wasn't because of the Republicans. It was because of Joe fucking Manchin and that other senator from Arizona. I always forget her name. Those two didn't want it in there. So the Democrats compromised on their own bill to get other Democrats to support it.
Yep.
They threw away progressive ideas and progressive goals to win over conservatives, which is what they always do. Obama did it. Biden and Pelosi do it. All of them do it. And this is where the Democrats fail their base consistently and why their base needs to wake up and realize they are not representing them.
Yep. The Democratic Party is not here to serve the common people at all.
No, they serve themselves.
This bill ain't going to go through. We know that. Joe Manchin's going to fucking kill it at every single Republican because, again, man, nothing holds together better than Republicans. You have a better chance prying the nucleus of an atom apart, getting Republicans to divide on issues like this. They are sticking together. And again, they're just pulling the same old obstructionist bullshit. I mean, you know, Biden can't get a fucking secretary of coffee beans into the goddamn government because they keep doing this. Like, no one can make an executive decision on biscuit recipes because the Republicans feel like being pricks. They have all the time in the world to sign Dr. Seuss books and run away to Cancun and complain about Mr. Potato Head's genitals, but they're going to obstruct every single appointment that doesn't affect them. That's the shitty part. It's this boy who cried wolf all the time. If the Republicans would stick to their guns on issues that actually impacted them, it would make more sense. Like, if this was the only thing they were steamrolling, like, okay, it would make sense. But the fact that they dig their heels in every single time is what makes me hate the Democrats even more, because they won't fight against this. And it just becomes so much more obvious every time, the bullshit battle strategy they have. And the DNC has no interest in stopping it.
At all.
We have two parties who make money by pointing their fingers at each other and decrying themselves as the great Satan and accomplishing nothing.
Well, that's just it. Why would they fight it when they're never going to suffer any consequences for it? They're going to bitch and moan and blame the Republicans over and over again.
And blame progressives. Don't forget how much AOC gets for everything that goes wrong. by Pelosi.
But yeah, absolutely. They will blame everyone. And then the liberals just get in line behind it. Never critically think about what's going on. It's always, oh man, we would have won if it wasn't for the Bernie bros. Oh man, we would have got this through if it wasn't for those damn Republicans. Oh, but look at Pelosi. She tried. Let's vote her back in. Let's absolutely do it.
It's the same
game. Pelosi needs to go just like fucking Joe Manchin does.
Oh my God. Can they just take her and Joe Manchin and every single other mummy and put them back in their fucking sarcophaguses and let people who are old enough to not remember the fucking Roosevelt administration be in office? It shouldn't be that hard.
No. And that's why we need term limits.
Something else I really wanted to bring up also is that we've been hearing a lot, right, that this is the new Jim Crow, you know, not to take away from the book, but like this is another Jim Crow. This is a Jim Crow style thing, right? I'm sure you've been hearing that on the news and in articles. And a lot of people, I've been hearing people murmur online. Again, this is in the dark corners of Reddit and shit. So, you know, who fucking knows what's trolling and what's public opinion. But a lot of people have been murmuring that it's hyperbolic, right? That this is, it's not Jim Crow. Shut up. Kind of like, you know, everyone who disagrees with you isn't an actual Nazi. Same kind of thing. And again, I agree with that. I don't like hyperbole. Because if you call everyone a Nazi, it loses meaning. And it loses all impact. And it does nothing anymore when the Nazis actually show up. But this isn't hyperbole. This is Jim Crow. And I think we, especially as Americans, have very short memories when it comes to this stuff. And just real quick, I not too much of a tangent, but this is the same. They're playing from the exact same playbook they did after the Civil War, right? So when the Civil War ended, we had what's called the period of Reconstruction. That's the, you got antebellum, you know, yep, which is the time before the Civil War. And yeah, then you've got Reconstruction, which is the period directly following the Civil War. And that's when the federal government set all the conditions that would allow the traitorous southern states to get back in the country, right? They called it Reconstruction because Uncle Billy was awesome and he burned down a lot of people who had slaves. And Lincoln had to put a Reconstruction Act through, right? And what this did with this, actually, like, this put military governors in districts. I didn't actually fact check my own history lesson here, but I believe it was 5 districts, and it was very much an occupation. It was like a foreign occupation, just like we do with Iraq and Afghanistan, just like we did with Germany in World War II. We had these demilitary districts, I believe 5, someone correct me if I'm wrong later in the comments, but they were under the generals and the military commanders, and they were empowered to employ the army to protect black people and their property, because everyone knew it was going to happen. Lawlessness, as if it wasn't hard enough to be black in the South post-world, you know, during the Civil War, it was going to be even worse afterwards, right? Lincoln had to set some rules and some ground rules for this to actually reunite. Because remember, Lincoln gets a lot of credit for being such a great president. Lincoln actually didn't give a shit about black people or about slavery. Lincoln cared about the Union. And that's okay. It's not okay that he didn't care about black people, but it's okay that his priority was the Union. Like, he's a man of his time. That's understandable. I don't like it. It's not great. He could have been someone like John fucking Brown or Thaddeus Stevens, but not everyone can be a hero. It's fine. He wasn't terrible, but he cared about the Union. That was Lincoln's focus. All he cared about was keeping the band together. So he puts this out there. He wants, you know, his main condition was that like 10% of the voting population by 1860 had to take an oath of allegiance to the Union. Like, that matters. I don't know why that was important, but then each state had to. But the big one is every state coming back in, all these southern states, if they wanted to come back into the into Congress and be recognized as actual states with power, they had to accept the 13th and 14th Amendments. They had to not only end slavery, but give equal protection under the law and voting rights, right, to black men. But that's something. And then Lincoln gets shot in the head. And as bad as it was with Lincoln not really protecting people like he should have, his vice president, Andrew Johnson, was awful. And again, something people don't really know about, this is before, and rivals would be president and vice president at this time. It was not uncommon for your vice president to be someone who had nothing to do with you at all whatsoever. He was just someone who also was able to get a lot of votes.
It was the runner-up, right? So whoever got the second most amount of votes after the president became the vice president.
Correct? From the get-go, I'm not sure if that changed by 1890 or 1880, but I think that was still the case. I think I can't recall. So either, and again, this is me not being prepared. Sorry, everybody. But it was either he was the runner-up or Lincoln selected him for that reason. But Andrew Johnson and Lincoln didn't get along. They very disagreed a lot. Johnson was pro-Confederacy and pro-slavery. And by the way, he's from North Carolina, so I hear we may have a listener or two in North Carolina. I'm not really sure. But just remember, your state gave us one of the worst presidents of all time. He's no Andrew Jackson, but he was still a son of a bitch. Anyway, so he basically wanted to make restoration of the Union way faster than Lincoln. He was like, get him in here, group hug, everything's fine, unity, right? No malarkey. He wanted everyone back together, big group family photo, everyone's happy. And he was so shitty about not even giving a damn about rebellion that he actually got impeached on how lenient he was on the South. And he actually only survived the Senate trial by one fucking vote. And it goes to show you the damage you can do. Civil Rights Act of 1866, he vetoed. So anyway, fast forward a few years, and even with all this, black people were still elected to local offices by the 1880s and 90s, but white Democrats were passing laws to make voter registration elections way more restrictive, right? All of a sudden, does this sound familiar, guys? We're getting a whole bunch of voter laws to stop fraud and stop the people who shouldn't be voting. So now it's illegal immigrants and that kind of thing. And back then it was people who couldn't read and write. You know, it wasn't about race. And so what you have here is that most black people and some poor whites even couldn't vote anymore.
And this is a good note for all of you defenders of right-wing bullshit. When you try to, this isn't about race. Why is it always about race with you people? Why is it always this? Why is it always this? No, this is about protecting us against, it's bullshit. These are reasons the right comes up with to mask their racism and their bigotry. And this is why, as we discussed in a previous episode, you can't give them a pass. You don't get a pass. Even if you aren't aware of this, you're perpetuating this bullshit. You are part of the problem. So you don't get to not be lumped in with the bigots because you're helping the bigots. And at the end of the day, you aren't any better.
Yeah, being a collaborator is just as bad. You don't have to have a hood and burn a cross to be a racist. Racism is also not attacking people of color, but attacking all the demographics they're part of and attacking every single part of their culture. Racism is saying blue lives matter and all lives matter and erasing things like Black Lives Matter. Racism is throwing out resumes that have names that are a little too ethnic for your liking. You don't have to have a swastika to be a racist. You can be a racist and fit right into polite society and no one will know.
And of course, the people in charge back then and now knew this and knew they could get all those, you know, middle class white people to go along with them so long as they didn't put a color behind all of this bullshit. And it's happening again. And I'm sorry I put us on that digression, Chris, but I thought it was
a point. It's not a digression. I felt that was very tangentially related.
Well, excellent, yeah. Then. I don't apologize for shit and carry on.
Oh, man, you're living up to that Jumbo Johnson name. All right. So, but that's what happened is, again, it was never about race. We're just trying to keep the integrity of elections. That's what the Southern conservative Democrats did back then. Reconstruction ended. Andrew Johnson didn't want it. He pulled the troops out as fast as he could, and the South was left to its own devices. And in 1890, Mississippi is the first one. 1890 through 1910, Mississippi was the first one, but most of the Confederate states passed brand new constitutions, and they put amendments that were basically disenfranchised almost all black people. There were poor whites that were part of that, but we'll get to that in a second. But they did it. The way they did this was through poll taxes. Saying that this wasn't about stopping people from voting. This is about making sure the state doesn't go bankrupt from the cost of elections. So now we're going to charge a poll tax, which, again, people who have no jobs or property are going to have a much harder time paying a poll tax.
Yeah, because everybody's got to show up with their fucking nickel, right?
Exactly. And then you get literacy tests, right? Now, who judges a literacy test? Because that's the thing, is they would have Cletus come in and they'd be like, spell cat, and he'd draw a cat, and they'd be like, good enough, buddy. And then a black man walks in, and they say, okay, we need you to copy down this passage from the Constitution. And if he missed a comma, he was out. That's how a literacy test would work. And much like you said, like, bring your nickel. This is also where the term grandfathered in comes from, grandfather clause.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Was these states would start, I mean, everyone's heard that term. And the way it comes is they would basically be like, well, only, you know, if you can't afford a poll tax or if you can't pass the literacy test, whatever, we will give, would they write in the grandfather clause that, well, if your grandfather voted, then you can vote too. How many black people in 1880 had grandfathers that voted? None. Zero. They were the first generation of black voters in America. But that's what they did. It was always about restricting it. That's how you got the poor whites and the illiterate whites to be able to vote, was they would give the grandfather clause. And that was incredibly popular in the Jim Crow laws. And of course, what happens? You know, voter turnout drops, right? Because most black people in the country lived in the South.
And of course, that was really great news for all the white collaborators, because they suddenly got to feel really good about supporting these laws. Because of course, like, I've got a grandpa. Why is this a problem for you? I don't get it. Why are you being so angry? We're letting you vote. Here's all these ways you can do it. Why don't you just read? Why don't you just go get your grandfather to vote? Like,
yep, you're just lazy.
It gives them the out they need to excuse their bigotry, because there are a lot of people that are like this that I have come to learn, where it's, they're bigots, but they are cognizant enough about how bad bigotry is perceived that they don't want to be labeled as such. But rather than just, you know, not be a fucking bigot or a racist, they're going to find any excuse they can to make what they're doing not that.
Just like that, they would point out that it's just, you know, the grandfather clause was there to protect the poor because we have a poll tax. And if you can't pay the poll tax, that's fine. Like the Oklahoma one was actually very specific. Got it here. Yeah, anyone qualified to vote before 1866 or who is related to someone qualified to vote before 1866 is exempt from the literacy requirement. But again, the only Americans who could vote before 1866 were white. Black people were slaves. They did not have civil rights. They weren't citizens. Hell, this, remember, this is anyone who goes like, well, the Irish were slaves too. Bullshit. They were indentured servants. And granted, that's not great. But black slavery in America has a particularly nasty history because it's chattel slavery. You were not into slavery because you put yourself in debt or because you were captured. You were in slavery because of your category of what type of human you were. If you were born black, you were automatically property. No life decisions or circumstances besides the time and date of your birth decided whether or not you were free.
Yeah, because your parents were slaves, and so you're born, you're a slave, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And that is why American slavery is very different than the slavery of the Irish, the slavery of the Chinese. Yes, don't get me wrong. Not good times. Not the chattel slavery that has destroyed generations of black people in this country. And that's why the issues of race still come up. That's why when conservatives like to tell you, oh my God, that was 100 years ago, it was 150 years ago, why can't we let it go? Because we're still living with the scars of that. Everyone's watching the George Floyd trial right now, and we all know what's going to happen. He's going to get off. George Floyd was murdered, and the only reason, if by some miracle this cop gets convicted of murder, which I'll go ahead and put my money down right now, not going to happen. But if by some miracle it does happen, it's only because a woman sat there and had to film him murder somebody. That's the only reason, because there was, I mean, God, we just had a shooting last week, you know, where the cop shot an unarmed black man and, you know, his body camera was mysteriously turned off during the shooting. You think that guy's going to prison? Nope. So it's only because a citizen risked themselves and filmed him murdering someone in the streets for 9 minutes.
Nine and a half.
This is still going on. And we've already talked about this in the wardrobe. We talked about Breonna Taylor being slaughtered by murderers in her bed, and the only cop who gets charged is the one who didn't shoot her. You know, the one who missed, who actually damaged white property. That's the only one who has a problem. And he's literally charged for damaging property. It has always been about race, and it still always is about race. So anybody who tells, if you ever hear anybody saying that, anybody, whether they're being, you know, genuine or not, it doesn't matter. Anybody tells you, oh, it's, you're making it about race. Yes, it is about race, because this is a racist country run by racist politicians, patrolled by racist police in a racist economic system. That's the reality of where we are. And so this is another Jim Crow throwback. That's what's going on. And it's happening in Georgia, one of the worst of the slave states. Georgia, who probably has some of just some of the most atrocious history of most of the states in this union. In Georgia, not surprisingly, what do we have? A working class black person can't have a bottle of water as they're forced to stand in humid heat for polling lines that are way too long, because there's polling places in the white areas of town and not theirs. And now we're restricting them to vote again. Only now they're not being told they can't, they have to count the jelly beans in a jar. Now they're being told they have to have ID, which again, we've already had federal law on this one. That is considered a poll tax. And they're being told they can't have water or food, and they have to stand in crazy long lines. And if they get out of line after the polling place closes, they don't get a vote. And now they can't send in their ballot. And it always attacks based on race.
And make no mistake, even if they'd won Georgia, I don't believe for a second they wouldn't have still done this, because it was just way too close for them either way. And it just reinforces the idea, these ideals are not popular. Okay. Joe Biden isn't some like Lord and Savior. He didn't get elected because he's this grand progressive leader of people and he's going to make everything better. He got elected because Trump is a piece of shit, Nazi, racist, bigot, rapist. That's why. But that was enough to turn out votes. And I shouldn't even give the credit to like Biden. Stacey Abrams gets the credit for Georgia.
Yeah, I was about to say, because we put a rapist in office.
Yeah.
You know, Stacey Abrams is the hero.
Yeah, but again, there is a movement, and Stacey Abrams is motivated because I think of things like the Trump administration particularly, but it shows that they are losing their grip on power. And this is why, and the reason I brought up Biden and all this is because this is why you cannot relax. You cannot just sit back and kick your heels up and act like everything's okay again, because these fights aren't done. We have another 4 years of obstructionism and rigging the odds in their favor so that they can take back the House and the Senate and the presidency. And make no mistake, if you relax, they will do just that.
Amen.
But we had a black president. Racism is over.
It's over. It's all done.
It's done.
But this is why you can't vote blue no matter who. You will constantly be shamed into this. And we currently have a shitty president with a cop VP. This is the last thing this country needs right now. It is the antithesis of unity and healing. Joe Biden's presidency is divisive. It just doesn't feel that way because it's less divisive than Trump's. But the bar is so low. That wasn't. Oh my God. But you said the fact that we're tandem there just shows you this is universal. Yeah.
Honestly, you could have put a pigeon with a hat on and it would have been better than Trump.
You could put a pigeon with a hat on better than Joe Biden, because pigeons with hats don't rape their interns and don't bomb Syria in their first week in office and don't double back on the promises of student loan debt and COVID relief.
But that's why we all have to remain vigilant. And that's, again, one of the reasons why we started this, is because being cis white males, we have a unique position that we can talk to other cis white males and be, hey, you're part of this. You need to step up and start listening, start taking some action, and stop just waiting to get your brunch back.
Yeah. And that's a message to liberals too. Liberals don't fight like conservatives do. Leftists and conservatives are both willing to fight, but the leftists are small because they're more fringe.
Yep.
The liberals need to get off their fucking couch. Joe Biden won the election. Whoopty shit. The country's not better. We're about to watch a murderer get off trial because he wore a badge. That's the country we live in. We just watched Georgia actually successfully pass laws to stop poor and black people from voting. And we're about to watch the federal government have a complete and total limp dick failure to stop it. You need to be mad. You need to be angry. And I know we've been dealing with a lot. If you're white, you've had to learn in the last couple years that this country sucks for everyone who doesn't look like you. If you're a person of color, you've known that your whole fucking life. If you're a person of any marginalized group, disabled, LGBTQ, whatever, you know this country sucks. Everyone is finally on the same page, and that's a shit time to be a human being, when everyone can pretty much recognize that everything sucks. And I know it's hard, especially with COVID. Everyone is tired. Everyone is fed up. We are all exhausted. We are all tired of wearing a mask and watching some asshole tell us to go lick a doorknob instead. We're all tired of watching cops kill people. We are all tired of watching citizens with rifles kill people. And we are all tired of watching politicians not give a shit about protecting our rights and doing their duty. But you have to stay mad. Because every single time you say, fuck it, and go back to the armchair and stop caring, they win every time. Because the Koch brothers aren't stopping.
So something else I want to just talk about really quickly here. There are 33 states right now that have laws that have been introduced or that are pre-filed to change some sort of voting law. And that's a lot of fucking states, right? So these things cover restrictions on mail-in voting, limiting who can vote by mail, making it harder to obtain ballots, barriers to completing or casting those ballots. The list goes on, and I'm not going to outline what states are doing what and where, but I'm going to have a article posted in the description of this episode so that everybody can go and take a look at those things. And if you're in one of those states that has a proposed ballot that's going to restrict voting of any kind, please try to do something about it.
Get fucking mad.
Get mad. Get out there. Talk to people. Do something about it. Because that's the only way that this is going to change, is us continuing to talk about it, continuing to force the people that we put in power to do what is right. Not by going back and sitting in your fucking armchair and doing nothing.
And I challenge, and I agreed, and I challenge you even more. This is to everywhere, but right now, people in Georgia, if this continues through and this doesn't get fixed, which I don't think it will, defy it. Go give people water. Get arrested for giving people the right to vote. You know, again, everyone likes to be like, well, if I was around the civil rights era, well, if I was around a Nazi Germany, well, if I was there, I would have. Well, now's your time. Now's your time.
Not only that, there's several attorneys' offices that have come out and said they will represent you for free if you do it.
I mean, not just that. Stuff like this, like, you know, the National Lawyers Guild will bail you out of jail. Like, you're going to be okay, but even if you're not, remember John Lewis, get into the good trouble. One day you're going to look back on your life, and are you going to be the person who sat in their chair and shared dank memes about it, or are you the person who actually fucking did something about it? Go break the law. Give people water. If the law says you can't help someone be a human, then the law is wrong. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox now. But thank you, everyone, for being part of that one. Again, we didn't have enough time to really deep dive into all this. Send us emails. Send us your comments. If we left something out of this very insanely important conversation that bisected race and gender and poverty and civil rights, hit us up. We'll talk about it. You know, we only have so much time to go into this stuff, but please message us. Let us know if we've missed something, if there's something that we should have brought to the table, because this is a conversation we are always interested in having, no matter what the week's topic is.
Amen. Absolutely.
And speaking of which, what do we got, Matt? What's in the old dusty mailbag?
Well,
that's what I call K.
That's actually a perfect segue, because the first thing I have is actually a minor correction, not so much a correction, but an addendum, if you will, from our good buddy TD Gamer over there in North Carolina, good old Tiberius Dominant Gamer. He mentions on the last episode we talked about with cancel culture, when talking about Gina Carano, we ignored that between the beep boop and the Holocaust comments, she was actively spewing COVID bullshit and election conspiracies, which is absolutely true. She was doing all that. It wasn't just the two things we mentioned. The truth of the matter is, for all of these people that we were discussing, the point we were trying to illustrate is that there were legitimate reasons why these people were getting canceled. And the only reason we just didn't go through the entire list is because we could have done a whole show just on how much horrible all of these fuckers did.
And we did miss that one, and I'll give it CD Gamer on that one, because we did single her out as one of the biggest examples, and good catch. And but thank you for bringing that up, because again, that's a big piece of the puzzle to why she doesn't get to work for the mouse anymore.
Yep, absolutely. She's actually one of the more prominent and vocal voices, because as we demonstrated, she was using her platform to espouse the shittiest, most horrendous ideas that she could possibly espouse, while also trying to work, as you said, for Disney. You don't get to do that and keep your job. On a little bit of the lighter side, we have two shout outs I'm giving to some Facebook listeners. The first
The lighter side.
Yeah, yeah. The first one is from Mary Riley. By the way, love that name. I don't think that's her real name at all, but if it is, even fucking better. But anyway, so she comments, she listened to our cancel culture episode earlier in the day. She said she's been binging episodes over the past week or so, and it's quickly becoming her favorite podcast. So Mary Riley, thank you. You're quickly becoming one of our favorite listeners.
Anyone who wants to binge us, go for it. You are great. Yep.
Absolutely. Next one in a similar vein is from Heather Michelle. She's listening to the cancel culture episode. She loves it. She says she enjoys Michael Cohen's podcast, but he tends to annoy her with his interviews. She actually likes listening to us better, as we have a cleaner feel. She's also a Southern California native. So yes, right on.
Right on, SoCal. And that clean feel, you can thank the good Reverend for that one, because his technomancy is the only reason we stand smooth. In fact, actually right now, I am swallowing sandpaper and Matt is banging on his drum set. And the only reason why you can hear us smoothly is because of Kay.
It's true. It's true.
Well,
I'm also
going
to be grinding out marbles in my blender pretty soon too. You guys aren't going to hear a lick of it.
Yeah, I'm going to just filter that one right out.
So those are the big three this week. We have a couple more, but as we said last week, I'm trying to, you know, take things a little bit at a time. And I had a little bit more interesting topic that I wanted to add for the shout out section. This has been inspired a Facebook group that we are in, a progressive Facebook group that is absolutely amazing. The name of the group is The Left You Were Warned About. These guys are great. Good group of people. If you guys are on Facebook and like progressive politics, join that group. There's some interesting debates going on, and it's kind of, it's around a topic that I've mentioned or discussed or hinted at, but we've never really come out. And I wanted to get your guys' take on it. So AOC specifically, but also generally speaking, this presidency, there's definitely a big battle going on around her, I think, and how she's been, especially the last year. And what I'm seeing is the leftists are more and more seem to be turning on her. I'm seeing comments like, oh, she's just Pelosi Jr. She's completely sold out. She's this, she's that, whatever. Then of course there's liberals that all of a sudden are now big old Pelosi fans that are just jumping to her sides, like saying, you guys are crazy. This is not true. And I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on this. Now here's what I will say. There are two things that I think that are valid criticisms of her. One is her refusal to force the vote. I mentioned this a couple of times when referencing Jimmy Dore and his stupidity. I happen to agree on that point. I understand why she didn't do it. I still think she should have. The other one has come out more recently, and this is with regards to kids in cages. As we all know, not only has the Biden administration continued that policy, they have now put far more kids in detention than the Trump administration has. Pelosi is on the record as coming out on it twice. Both times in February, hasn't said a word on it since. And these two things seem to be the central focus of all the left coming against her. I don't necessarily, like, I think they're valid points. I think they're valid criticisms. I don't think that suddenly makes her a liberal shill. And I think while it is absolutely good to be critical of our elected officials, it is absolutely good to hold them accountable. I think rushing all the way to Pelosi and AOC are the same hits me weird. I just can't get behind that. What are your guys' thoughts on this?
I can't see them as the same by any means. I think that AOC has probably figured out that she can't just buck the system 100% all the time because she's never going to get anything done. But I also think that Pelosi's not getting any better. She's not any more woke than she was 10 years ago. So I just don't see them as being the same. As far as kids in cages are concerned, yes, the Biden administration has put more kids in cages than Trump ever did, apparently, except that all of those children that have been crossing the border have been doing so without families, and they have no one to return them to. Not saying that that's a good thing. I'm just saying that they're not just turning them away in mass droves. These are kids that literally are coming to the border looking for asylum, looking for, you know, something better, and they have nothing else to do with them. They're trying to do more, maybe not successfully, but that's it's kind of a bad you're not always giving the full story when you say things like that.
Interesting. And that, and I'm glad we went with you first, Kate, because that's almost verbatim the common liberal argument I hear. A little bit different, and you aren't as willing to go all in on their stuff, but that's pretty much the gist of it. Chris, what do you think?
Whew, there's just so much to unpack there. Okay, so I find myself at a lot of crossroads. So the first thing I would say to anyone who is upset at AOC over this one is we need to ask three questions. Where does she stand compared to everyone else? What is the ethical, moral, and right thing to do regardless of what can be done? And thirdly, if you were in her shoes, how exactly would you be effective at solving this? And let me address all three of those. So the first one I said was, how does she compare? She's still the most leftist senator there. She's left of mm-hmm. Bernie. Her and, I mean, the squad, but the squad honestly is headed up by her and Ilhan Omar.
Yep.
They are the two who are the left voice of the Senate. Now, do I think AOC is radically left? No, I am left of AOC. Do I have criticisms? Sure. Do I think there are issues she needs to be more on the front of? Sure. Do I think she needs to push harder on this issue? Absolutely. But I'm not going to shit on the person who has the most compassion for this topic. I've got Ted Cruz. I mean, God, and I know we keep talking about him. I know Matt has a hard on for hating Ted Cruz, but to be fair, Ted Cruz, it's not that I need to leave Ted Cruz alone. Ted Cruz needs to leave me the fuck alone. I cannot yes. read a single thing without hearing Ted Cruz's sh- It's like he's become the new Bill Gates on CNN, where every time something happens, what does Bill Gates think about it? Well, on the right, it's every time something happens, like, what does Ted Cruz think about it? What's Ted Cruz doing? He seems to be just shoving his limp, pasty white dick in every single issue, and there he is at the border taking video footage but leaking video footage of the inside of these detention centers. And it's like, great, I agree, this is not good, but where the fuck was this outrage when the guy who talked shit about your wife was in the office?
And that is right there, that is why I fucking hate Ted Cruz so much.
It's the hypocrisy.
It is absolutely that.
Yeah, the selective outrage.
The slimiest, most opportunistic piece of shit that is on that Congress right now. He is the leader of the scum. And that is why I single him out. He is the worst example of what a human being should be, followed closely by like Lindsey Graham and Holly. But he is without a doubt the forerunner of this movement. He is the first one to suck it up and lick that Trump boot. And he continues to do so. I cannot respect him as a human being. I cannot respect him as a man. I cannot respect him as a politician.
But yeah. But you're right. Ted Cruz is a big problem. But then that's what we see here. And so as long as I've got that, and again, I've got that kind of crap coming even from the Democratic Party. Do I think AOC's not perfect and needs to be more into this? Yes, I actually agree with that. I do think AOC is failing on a few of these issues, especially forcing the vote. That one, I actually am on the side of them, because if there was ever a time to die on the hill of universal health care, it's during a global pandemic.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the fact that not a single Democrat, not even the squad, is willing to die on that hill is a problem. Now, the second, what was the second thing I said? It was whether or not, you know, what's the ethical and right thing to do? Well, in my opinion, the ethical and right thing to do is let everyone the fuck in. Immigrants are good for this country. They just are. Immigrants commit less crimes. They work hard. They want to pay taxes. They want to be good citizens. People are coming to this country because they want to do good here.
And And I absolutely agree with you on that, Chris.
Yeah. Let immigrants come in. This leads us to our third question. What would you do differently? Because the problem is Trump destroyed the infrastructure to process asylum seekers. So we have a system that is burning rubble, and we have an influx of people. And now, again, remember, these are people who are trying to get their children not murdered. So they will do whatever it takes to put the best odds of survival and success for their children, because that's what you do as a parent. And these kids are coming unaccompanied, which means we can't send them back.
What do you do with them?
Exactly. But the system to get them in, get them into some kind of foster care or something where they can go to
broken.
School,
it's gone.
Where they can
it's
get
not
healthcare,
there anymore.
Where they can be taken care of, where they cannot be locked in a fucking cage.
Where they can just get decent fucking meals.
Yeah, the right wing destroyed that system. Now, again, do I think that system was ethical and good? No, but it was better than this. And it does need to be fixed, but it can't be fixed overnight. And I would ask anyone like Jimmy Dore or any one of those people, okay, you have 48 hours and only the power of one of 50 senators who's getting blocked on everything. Go ahead, fix it. I'll watch. It's not
that I'll wait.
Simple. It is a problem that I agree is not having the focus it needs to by the left. Again, I would like AOC and the rest who were like her to jump up and down about this and start getting more mad about it and bring it more into our conversation. But again, she's not the one I'm going to shit on first.
And I agree with you. I think we're pretty much in line on that. What's hard about this is the ones that are all rushing to slam her. I get it. You're angry. You're tired of seeing representatives elected to represent you and them not doing that and them cutting deals and them playing nice. I get it.
But AOC is not just fighting Republicans. She's fighting Pelosi.
And every time there's a hint the squad plays nice with Dems to get their agenda moved forward, they get shit on by everyone.
Well, and that's kind of what I was talking about, is that you can't just buck the system at every turn. You will literally get nothing done ever. Sometimes you're going to have to give to get, which it's shitty. It sucks. No one wants them to do it.
But that's politics.
But it's the fucking truth.
And we have to accept that. Like, in order to get things done, there's going to be an amount of political maneuvering. Now, what has been taking place up to this point has been awful, and what continues to take place is awful. We need a different way of doing things. But there is an element that needs to be addressed, or there is an element of a negotiation that is going to be a part of this. But I thought it was an interesting topic, an interesting discussion, because it's symbolic of the kind of power struggle that's going on in the left right now between the centrist liberals, centrist and right-wing liberals, and the progressive and leftists in the party. And I get it, but I don't think that label, like putting her and the squad in with Pelosi every time they negotiate or don't do things you want, is disingenuous. One of the valid criticisms I heard was that Ilhan Omar and Ayala Presley were down visiting those detention facilities, and AOC wasn't there. Okay, that's valid. We'll talk about that. But in the same breath, if you're going to say that, well, because of this, she's now Pelosi. No, you don't get to do that.
So she had a scheduling conflict.
I don't know the reason. I don't know.
It doesn't matter what the reason is. She had something else she had to do.
And that's exactly it. I don't know the reasons. I'm not going to assume. But I will say this. It's an interesting debate. We've given our takes. And I already gave a shout out to the Left You Were Warned About group, but I want to give a special shout out to three people within that group that kind of sparked this conversation. But the first one is one of the admins in that group. His name was Justin. He was a big one that was engaging in this debate. The other one I mentioned last week when he was the one named Gary that was giving us that information about the congresswoman in Seattle. He was part of this as well. And then another special thanks to Roy. They're the big three on this that I've seen commenting on it. And it was all in discussion against a liberal that posted in the group. His name was Prince. Unfortunately, he talked a lot of crap in that group and has since been banned. But I think it was a really good discussion, and I want to give a shout out to all four of those people for sparking it.
That's going to do it for us today. Thank you guys for being here for this one. Again, I know this was a longer dive. We appreciate you being here. We appreciate you being part of this discussion. Keep it going. Again, if we miss stuff, if there's stuff you want to talk about, if you liked us, if you agreed with it, if you didn't agree with parts of it, if you want to talk about it, if you want to add to it, take away from it, let us know. Let's keep this conversation going. It's really, really important. Yeah, and please remember to like, comment, subscribe, but especially we're still pushing for those reviews on iTunes, so anything helps. We're trying to hit that 50 mark of reviews on iTunes, so please give us a hand there too. Again, thank you for being here. We love you to pieces. We will see you next Monday. This is Chris K and Matt signing off, and until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, the revolution is you.